Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Tonight we have some explosive and very disturbing news, but it's also good news, I believe, if it's all true. We'll get to that about the election. We're going to primarily deal with the election tonight, in fact, exclusively. Let's get started. Well, it's certainly been a rough past 2 weeks for me, as I suspect it has for you, if you're a Trump supporter. I've lost weight from lack of appetite as I have swung back and forth over and over again from relief and a sense of hope that the president would actually be reelected for a second term to the depths of despair that Beijing Biden, as he's being called by observers now, is going to be declared the official winner with a record staggering number of votes supposedly cast for him across the country. I have never seen anything like what has happened this year with our elections. Many of us went to bed late on November 3 with Trump leading strongly in the key battleground states that will decide the election, only to wake up the next morning and find that the mainstream Marxist media, as commentator Steve Turley calls him, was cheering on Biden and declaring him the winner with significant margins of votes in all those six states. As I was doing my late show prep this afternoon, I came across an email alert that is hugely disturbing and astonishing. Maria Bartiromo on Fox, I believe it was this morning on her – I think it's a Sunday morning future show, but I tried to get back on. I couldn't save it or save it to my personal email to look at it again, and I lost the link. But anyway, I believe that's where it was. She was interviewing again Trump legal team member Sidney Powell. And Powell dropped a bombshell stating that she has evidence that the 2020 presidential election was rigged and that corrupted software was used to shift millions of votes for Trump to Joe Biden. Now, all this remains to be proven, but she states she would not say anything that she can't prove. She's a very renowned former prosecutor, I believe. She's the one who's been representing General Flynn against all this attempts by the deep state to destroy him, former Trump advisor General Flynn. There's a lot going on. It's developing by the hour, so we'll get into more of this. I was unable to record this at this time. If you did, you might do a search if you want to look on the internet, but there'll be more coming on this. Of course, all this will be disparaged and disputed and brushed off as nonsense by the establishment powers that be, who are trying desperately to get the election called permanently for Joe Biden. But this really changes things. Let's go forward to what I've got right now, and we'll see what comes of all this later. It is developing, as I say, so keep an eye on the sources you have for the correct information about things. I have to agree with the president's attorney and leader in efforts to achieve a fair and legal election, Rudy Giuliani, that this has been, quote, the election theft of the century, close quote, and has been riddled with fraud. Don't believe the pro-corrupt Democrat propaganda of the big media and big tech elites and their allies in government and other areas of our society that this has been a completely fair and legal election with no serious evidence of vote fraud. As you will see, there is steadily increasing evidence of vote fraud on a grand scale, schemed, plotted, and implemented across most of the battleground states, which is where the election is being decided. Those six key battleground states, by the way, are Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Nevada. Biden currently leads in all of them to a greater or lesser extent, but results have not been officially certified and recounts are underway in several and being requested in the rest. This massive voter fraud has taken place in these battleground states, primarily in corrupt, Democrat-controlled vote-counting operations in major metropolitan areas. I'm talking about Atlanta, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Detroit, Las Vegas, and Phoenix. what has primarily put Joe Biden over the top in these states, I had thought until I heard Sidney Powell's presentation today, has been the massive amount of mail-in ballots that have been cast, which were done so without appropriate safeguards in place to ensure transparency and the legality of these votes, at least in these battleground states. Other states seem to have gotten the whole thing right, and their results are not being currently questioned. There are also these growing indications and allegations of voting machine fraud, as I mentioned, along with claims that a powerful new U.S. intelligence cybersecurity program known as Hammer and Scorecard may have been employed illegally, which has the capability of changing up to 3% of the vote totals for one candidate or another. We'll hear more about this later in the program. Whether some of the alleged fraud will ever be detected and or corrected remains to be seen, but the idea that our national presidential and perhaps other races as well, elections could be have been interfered with is frightening and merits further investigation. As I said, the decisive factor in the presidential race for the moment, though, is the millions and millions of mail-in ballots which went out all over the nation, ostensibly to enable people afraid of voting in person due to the COVID-19 pandemic to be able to vote, but which have enabled massive fraud instead. Whatever happens with the outcome of the presidential race, we must work to ensure that our future elections are conducted correctly, legally, and efficiently, and are safeguarded against fraud. I do want to say at this point, however, that based on the information I am aware of, I believe President Trump has a good chance of being reelected, focusing just on the mail-in ballot fiasco. Here's why. As you'll hear, there was a recurring pattern of corruption in these key battleground state metropolitan areas where huge numbers of mail-in ballots suddenly appeared in the middle of the night after Election Day and were counted by Democrat-controlled operations while Republican observers were illegally kept away. This strongly indicates a conspiracy to commit vote fraud and get Joe Biden elected. The Trump campaign is investigating and filing legal challenges in all these key battleground states. Evidence is mounting in support of the Trump campaign's push to have these illegally cast mail-in ballots, many of which show votes only for Joe Biden on them, with no other down ballot, as they say, candidates having been voted for on them, rejected in the vote counts. That is, they want to have these ballots rejected in the vote counts. But Trump's campaign faces daunting challenges in ensuring that every legal vote is counted. For example, in Georgia, where the unofficial vote count has Biden leading by about 13,000 votes, and the state is conducting a recount, the idiot Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, if this is true, reportedly had earlier submitted to a bizarre legal consent decree whereby election workers will not compare signatures on mailed ballots with those on voter registration rolls. This is an open invitation to enormous voter fraud. President Trump today, I believe, tweeted and said this is until the vote is a waste of time there, that recount, unless they can get the vote, the signatures compared. This is how you always do it. This was apparently brought some in response to some kind of legal action brought last year or earlier this year by Stacey, I forget, the woman who ran against the governor and lost in Georgia, Stacey Abrams, I think. Why? Apparently they were claiming that comparing signatures was a voter suppression or something. This Raffensperger guy, excuse me, he is supposedly a Republican. But I tend to agree with one of the commentators said he's really a rhino. That's a Republican in name only and an anti-Trump stooge of the left, according to Dick Morris. Anyway, Dick Morris is a very interesting and one of my sources for – very interesting commentator and one of my sources. He's a former pollster, was advisor to the Clintons, has swung around to the political right. The president has called, as I said, the recount underway in Georgia a waste of time unless signatures can be compared to weed out fraudulent ballots. What's going to come of all this? We don't know. The president's people have uncovered, according to Dick Morris and the Epoch Times newspaper, that in Georgia more than 27,000 people aged 90 and over are recorded to have voted in Georgia in the presidential election. including more than, I believe, 1,000 over 100 years of age and more than 500 over 104 years of age, or at those ages and above. According to figures I've seen in a search on the internet, as of last year, there were less than 17,300 Georgia residents aged 90 and over. Additionally, there are more than 17,000 people recorded to have voted in Georgia who have out-of-state address changes. Whether the Trump campaign will be able to get to the bottom of these anomalies remains to be seen if signatures on ballots can't be checked. But it shows you some of the concerns people have about what's going on here. Let's face it. It's well established that the mainstream media are today essentially propaganda mouthpieces for the Democratic Party, along with the big tech corporations. And despite these entities claiming there is absolutely no significant evidence of election fraud, there is, in fact, a large and increasing amount of it. To add insult to injury, the left has succeeded in taking over two stalwarts of conservative news and information, Fox News and the Drudge Report. Now, I just mentioned Fox Business running Maria Bartiromo's stuff today. There still is some pretty good stuff coming out of Fox, but clearly they seem to be pushing toward the left. On election night, many people were disappointed with them. The head of their, I guess, their election operation, who I understand is a Democrat, was running things there. They called incorrectly that the Democrats were expected to pick up a number of seats in the House. They did not. Even with all this fraud, it's interesting that while Trump seemed to have been going down in flames, there was no blue – they talked about a blue wave, the Democrat wave. It was a blue wave of sorts, but not a tsunami as they had hoped. It appears the Republicans will be able to hold on to the House, particularly if they – I mean the Senate, keep control of the Senate. But they are going to have two runoff races right now. If enough votes can be thrown out in Georgia, they may only need one runoff race for a senator there. But those are coming up in January. Those are critical races, and huge amounts of money already is being poured in by the political left to elect some very radical people to Senate if they can. But anyway – also, another big loss is the Drudge Report, which this year has shifted hard. They're an aggregate news site. They have headlines and links to news reports and stuff, and it's hard left now, most of it. Still, there are many good other sources of this information for us, including talk radio shows like Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, and Dr. Michael Savage. There's Newsmax TV and One American News Network. If you don't have these on your television setup, you can also look them up on the internet. Dr. Steve Turley's podcasts on YouTube are still available, along with many other good conservative voices there, including videos from the above mentioned news outlets, to the credit of YouTube, which is owned by Google. But obviously we're getting a lot of conflicting information about the fraud issue and the fate of the elections. For example, Bloomberg News, an organization established, as I understand it, by the leftist Democrat and former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. They carried an article November 12th quoting state and federal election officials as saying the 2020 election was completely secure and safe and there was no evidence of fraud. The article states, "The November 3 election was the most secure in American history," the official said in a statement Thursday. "There is no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised." The statement urged Americans to turn to election administrators and officials for accurate information. The statement was signed by officials from Election Infrastructure Government Coordinating Council, whatever that is, which shares information among state, local, and federal officials, and the Election Infrastructure Sector Coordinating – that's the same thing. I must have it wrong. I ran it twice here. I'm sorry. That's what the article says, which includes election infrastructure owners and operators. Now, let me see. Election Infrastructure Government Coordinating Council. I see. Elections Infrastructure Government Coordinating Council and the Elections Infrastructure Sector Coordinating Council. These sound like some kind of bizarre – balloon bureaucracy spinoffs that people get appointed to make a bunch of money but really don't amount to much. But in any event, continuing on with the article, among the 10 signatories were Benjamin Hovland, who chairs the U.S. Election Assistance Commission – there's another one – and Bob Kolaski, the assistant director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, part of the Department of Homeland Security. I understand those two are Trump appointees, but so are many other people who are not necessarily have the Trump administration's best interests in mind. On the other hand, and more importantly, I believe, you have the head of the Federal Elections Commission stating that he believes there was fraud and that the matter has to be investigated. The Epoch Times reported November 13th that the chairman of the Federal Elections Commission stated that he believes there is evidence of voter fraud and other alleged irregularities. In a recent interview, FEC Chairman Trey Traynor said reports of fraud in some battleground states are credible. Quote, otherwise they would allow the poll observers to go in, close quote, referring to reports that some polling areas refused to allow GOP observers to check on the process of election day, on the process on election day and the days after. As I said, this is patently illegal. The article continues, quote, when you have claims of, you know, 10,000 people who don't live in the state of Nevada having voted in Nevada, you have the video, their polling workers either duplicating a spoiled ballot right there, or they're in the process of just marking a ballot that came in blank for a voter, close quote, Traynor told Newsmax, quote, that's a process that needs to be observed by election observers, close quote. And the article continues, in the interview, he agreed with Trump's campaign lawsuits while saying that questionable actions by election officials in several states could make the election illegitimate. Traynor is an appointee of Trump, and he noted that the state laws allow those observers to be there, that is the Republicans, and if they're not, he said, then it's an illegitimate election. Quote, our whole political system is based on transparency and the appearance of corruption, he said, while alleging that Pennsylvania and other states have not been transparent. Quote, I do believe that there is voter fraud taking place in these places, close quote, he added. So there's some pretty potent news for you there. The president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, also a former New York City mayor and a prominent former federal prosecutor who's been deeply involved in the fight to expose and correct the alleged election fraud, has said he's uncovered enough of this fraud in Pennsylvania and Michigan alone to win those states for Trump. And you'll hear more about this shortly. Giuliani says he's now moving on to investigating and litigating election fraud issues in other battleground states as well. And he believes Trump will ultimately win the presidency again. A good source for truth about what's happening with the election is Giuliani's website, rudygiulianix.com. That's RudyGiulianix, rudygiulianix.com. Or you can see his podcast series, Common Sense. It's titled Common Sense. And listen to broadcasts there also of his radio show podcast, rebroadcast of his radio show, even live broadcasts, I believe, on New York City's 77 WABC. Here's some audio from the end of a recent Common Sense podcast just a few days ago, number 86, with Giuliani's comments after he presented – he went over additional new evidence he has of widespread vote fraud in Pennsylvania and Michigan. Play soundbite one, please.
How is it that in 10 different Democrat-controlled cities with crooked Democrat machines, with a long list of people that have gone to jail over the years, how is it that every single leader there woke up on the morning of November 3rd and said, we have this new mail process, and we're going to shut out the Republicans from observing, even though whenever we do absentee ballots, we have to allow the Republicans to observe. And even though the law says we have to allow the Republicans to observe, we're going to take the risk of violating the law because we control these cities so much. But it was like the individual idea of the leader in Philadelphia and the one in Pittsburgh and the one in Detroit and the one in Milwaukee. And the one in Minnesota, and the one all the way out in Phoenix, Arizona, and Las Vegas, Nevada, and Atlanta, Georgia. They just came up with this on their own. We're going to shut out the Republicans? Or do you think this was a concerted plan executed by the Democratic National Committee and the crooked Biden campaign? Look, let's get real. Joe Biden plagiarized and cheated his way through law school. Joe Biden plagiarized and tried to cheat his way through his first presidential election. The Biden family and Joe have made millions, 30 to 40 million alone from China. And we have a text in which Hunter Biden says half of that goes to Joe. The man, you know, sold himself so many times. Why wouldn't he cheat? The evidence is overwhelming, ladies and gentlemen. He stole an election. Now we have two states. Those votes have to go to Trump. We're going to move on now to Nevada. You don't think it's worse in Nevada? I already know it's worse in Nevada. Phoenix, Atlanta. We're not going to stop. We've been threatened. We've been told we can never get jobs. We've been told we can't be allowed in polite society. We've been told all kinds of things. I'm very proud of what we're doing. We're saving the integrity of the American electoral process, which has been trashed by a crooked leadership of the Democrat Party. And I want to say to Democrats, even those who voted for Biden, this isn't your fault. This isn't your fault. This is the leadership of your party. It got corrupted by Clinton, and it never got uncorrupted. And now they've become major world-class crooks. Stealing an election is nothing for these people. Nothing. They certainly stole the election in Detroit. They certainly stole the election in Pennsylvania. There were over 100 witnesses to that. And you're going to see the same thing is true in five other places. And then we're going to take a look at Dominion, and we'll show you how technologically they stole the election. So keep paying attention to this podcast and the others, as well as OAN and Newsmax and the local radio stations that have the courage to present the information to you. A lot of it, you know, is getting through. We're going around that Iron Curtain. It's kind of like the Berlin Wall. And never thought I'd see this in America, but we're going to defeat it. This is a great country. We've got great people. And my goodness, you have unbelievable common sense. So stick with us. We'll be back very shortly with a lot more evidence, very much like this. Thank you.
Now here's more from Giuliani on his 77 WABC New York City radio program, November 10, in which he details just some of the vote fraud he had uncovered up to that point. Please play soundbite 2.
So now where are we in this process of counting the ballots and making sure the election wasn't stolen? There is mounting evidence of fraud. Evidence of fraud. Whoever says there is no evidence of fraud is lying. Has it been proven yet? No. Of course, you need trials for that. But to say there's no evidence of fraud is to completely mislead you, to lie, and to cheat. Here's what constitutes evidence. Statements from witnesses. Affidavits. We have a couple of hundred of them. And they say, for example, in the case filed in Pennsylvania yesterday, that well over 600,000 ballots, mail-in ballots, were counted without any observation by the Republican poll watchers, the Republican observers. They got a chance to see almost none of them. They were kept anywhere from 20 feet or more away in corrals. When they attempted to get closer, they were threatened with arrest. When they got a court order to allow them to get 10 feet closer, the booths were moved 10 to 20 feet further back. Their estimate, looking at the counter, was that somewhere around 600,000-plus ballots were unlawfully entered without a single observation or attempt to determine whether they were valid or not. About 300 or so in Philadelphia and about 330,000 in Pittsburgh, where exactly the same practice was followed. Although after the court and the judge gave his advice, in Pittsburgh they allowed people to move closer, and they were able to observe some ballots. Their observations, to the extent that they had them, were that the ballots were not being examined carefully by any of the crooked Democratic poll people, because, remember, Philadelphia is a Democratic city for 60 years and one of the more corrupt Democratic cities in the country, and one that has a long, long history of massive voter fraud.
You know, the idea they wouldn't cheat in this election is sort of unthinkable. I mean, they're not going to miss a big election like this and not cheat. But the scope of the cheating is kind of monumental. To completely exclude the Republicans is unheard of. Now, what does it amount to? It amounts to a complete violation of Pennsylvania law, and it renders every ballot entered that way unlawful, null and void, not usable. All of this has to go before the state legislature that passed the law and that under the Constitution of the United States really sets the rules for these elections. The state legislature does, not the governor, not the Secretary of State, who's interfered and is being sued directly for her illegal acts. So the state legislature is going to be presented with at least 600,000 ballots that are entirely illegal under their law. And at a minimum, what we would ask is that they remove those ballots and then go on to certify ballots that are legal. That would change the result in Pennsylvania to what it legitimately was. Remember, Trump was ahead by 700,000 to 800,000 votes the night we went to bed or the early morning hours of the 4th. By the time we woke up, a lot of that lead had been eaten up, and had been eaten up by this ballot counting that was going on furiously without any observation as required by law. And our observers and witnesses say there was very little scrutiny of any of these envelopes. Basically, the counter just grabbed the envelope, ripped it open, and threw the ballot into the vote counting area without ever looking at whether it was a valid ballot or not from the outer envelopes. Those outer envelopes now are, the chain of possession is gone. There's no way to really match them, and there's plenty of opportunity to create false ones. So that's Pennsylvania, and there's much more to it than that. There are also cases of malfunctions. There are cases of backdated documents. There are cases of dead people voting, mounting. There are cases of people voting two and three times in both Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and that case was filed yesterday in the Middle District of Pennsylvania, which is where the Capitol is. That's Pennsylvania, and there's much more to it than that. There are also cases of malfunctions. There are cases of backdated documents. There are cases of dead people voting, mounting. There are cases of people voting two and three times in both Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and that case was filed yesterday in the Middle District of Pennsylvania, which is where the Capitol is. The next case to come along, which will be filed sometime today or tomorrow, is a companion case to a case that's already been filed in the state of Michigan. The case that's been filed is Cheryl A. Costantino versus the city of Detroit. And our case will be the Trump campaign and a number of voters against the Secretary of State of Michigan. So the two cases kind of overlap. So let me tell you what's going to be in the federal case. Federal case will have exactly the same allegations as Philadelphia because they did exactly the same thing. From the moment they started, they began herding, like they put them in corrals, Republican poll watchers. They were supposed to be there to watch the counting of these mail-in ballots. They were completely deprived of that opportunity. When they attempted to press, they were thrown out. They did get to see a little bit more than in Philadelphia, and what they got to see was disastrous. They got to see, for example, people that weren't registered, votes that weren't registered, given to a person who went over to the registration book and found names to link them up to. I don't have a good estimate yet on the number of times that happened, just going through the affidavits, but it was considerable number of times. They also have a witness there who is a Democrat, who's a whistleblower, and she is given an affidavit, and her affidavit is devastating. Her affidavit says that she was working for the Democrat Party, getting ready for the election, and she was basically trained in cheating. She was trained to, first of all, before the election, when the mail-in ballots came in, to adjust the mailing date on absentee ballots to be dated earlier than they were actually sent. She saw when people came in to do early voting that the election workers, all Democrats, would work with them and talk to them about how they could vote a straight Democratic ticket, which is completely illegal, and then would go with them to the voting area and help them fill in the ballot, which, of course, is a crime. She is a Democrat, I might add, who is doing this because she was shocked at what she saw. She'd done this before. She said she never saw anything like this before. She was told by her superiors never to ask for a driver's license or any photo ID from any of these earlier voters or voters on Election Day. And a large number of people who came to the satellite location that she was working at, she recognizes their names because they had had absentee ballots that were sent in. So they got to vote for a second time. And then when voters came in and they weren't registered to vote, they would go over to what is known as the Qualified Voter File, the QVF file. And they would either enter a name in there to register the voter, or they'd find a dead person or a person who hadn't voted, particularly as it got later in the process, and they'd enter the vote for that person. She was also instructed, once they got past the election and they were going to do the cleanup process, the counting of the votes, the counting of the mail-in votes and the absentee votes, she was specifically told, like her other work, not to, this is a quote, not to look for any deficiencies in the ballots. Don't look for any deficiencies. Now, the people examining the ballots were told not to look for deficiencies, and the Republicans weren't allowed to observe. What do you think was going on? They must think we're stupid. Yeah, they do. They think we're stupid. She says in her affidavit, I quote her, I was instructed not to look at any of the signatures on the absentee ballots. And I was instructed not to compare the signature on the absentee ballot with the signature on file, which is exactly what our observers saw. Remember what I said? Our observers could not see anything on the ballot. They're too far away. But what they did see was very quick handling of the envelope. They get the envelope. Envelope gets ripped open. They don't look at a damn thing on it, which they're supposed to do to verify it. They throw the envelope away. They put the vote in. Now, we have no idea if that's a valid or invalid ballot. And by virtue of the fact that they didn't do it and they didn't allow inspection, it becomes an unlawful, null and void ballot. Again, she was instructed not to look at any of the signatures on the absentee ballots. And she says, I was instructed not to compare the signature on the absentee ballot with the signature on file. Also on November 4, I was instructed to improperly predate the absentee ballots received date that were not in the QVC, which is the qualified voter form, as if they had been received on or before November 3rd. Justice Alito had ruled in Pennsylvania that you can't count votes that are received after November 3rd. So to obstruct, defy the justice's order, they backdated them. I was told to alter the information in the QVC to falsely show that the absentee ballots had been received in time to be valid. I estimate this was done to thousands of ballots. Her name is Jessie Jacob, and she swears to this under penalties of perjury. Fake media, this is what we call evidence. And finally, there's evidence of way, way more ballots that were entered unlawfully like this than the small margin of victory that Biden eked out at the very end after being behind by 800,000. So once again, what we would ask for is that these ballots be disqualified. And this case, this state, like Pennsylvania, would become a Trump state by quite a large margin. This is the beginning. There will be cases like this, virtually the same, following in Georgia, in Nevada, in Wisconsin, in Arizona. This is a common practice that was going on. There's no way that all these Democrats in these Democrat-controlled cities woke up on November 4th and said, you know, we're going to put those Republicans in corrals. And for the first time ever in counting absentee ballots, we're not going to let them look at it. I mean, the guy in Philadelphia and the guy in Pittsburgh and the guy in Detroit and the woman in Milwaukee and the woman in Phoenix and the man in Nevada and the woman in Atlanta, Georgia. You mean to tell me they all came up with the same idea by themselves? Or was this part of the plan with these crooked mail-in ballots? And as several witnesses testified directly, and this is going to knock them in the you-know-what.
As I said, Giuliani says there's no question that he can get enough of these votes, he believes, thrown out that were illegitimate for Biden to easily put those two states, Pennsylvania and Michigan, in Trump's camp. He would need one more state to win the Electoral College and win the election. We'll see what comes of it all. But as Giuliani says, this is just the beginning. A thought that came to my head, too, while he was talking about all this, I mentioned earlier that the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, supposedly, reportedly, signed off, submitted to a consent decree, a court consent decree, due to legal action brought by Stacey Abrams, the failed Democrat candidate for governor in Georgia, that they would not check signatures, that voting officials would not check signatures on ballots to verify them, which is an invitation to massive fraud. But the Constitution says that the state legislatures decide how the ballots are – how the elections are to be run. So my hope is the Trump people will be able to get that overturned and they can have people checking these signatures on these ballots. Otherwise, as the president said, the recount in Georgia currently underway is a waste of time without that. We will see. Now, here's still more audio from an interview with Rudy Giuliani on Lou Dobbs Tonight on Fox Business, I believe, on November 12th. As I said, Fox still has some good programs. It does seem like they're curbing and moving to tamp down and remove the conservative voices, which will kill their ratings. It already has on election night and afterwards, I believe. The many people who long time supported them were very disappointed, have turned away, and are now turning to One American News Network, which is a very good news network. And you can, if you don't get this, you can look at them up on the internet. They have a lot of good news there. You can look at their videos and things too. And the same thing with Newsmax TV. But anyway, in this interview with Lou Dobbs, now we start talking about Dominion voting machines. These are the voting machines that Sidney Powell referred to earlier, is a company that was, as Rudy Giuliani, was set up to rig elections. And they're used in many of the battleground states, if not all of them, I believe, in many other states across the country. Today on Maria Bartiromo's program, Sidney Powell was saying that they have – the evidence is coming in so fast about this, she said you can't even process it all. But she said that one thing she did say was that there was evidence that family members of state officials had received money from Dominion or from entities associated with Dominion so that their voting machines and software and so forth would be purchased and used by those states. Big scandal here. We'll see how this develops. Anyway, let's go ahead and listen to what he has to say about the voting machines as well. And he'll also talk a little bit more about the what other things going on. Play soundbite three, please.
Well, joining us now, President Trump's personal attorney, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani and federal prosecutor. Rudy, good to have you back with us. Let's talk about just for a moment an update on Dominion. And how important do you believe the concerns that are being expressed in a number of states about the ability of these machines not to be hacked?
Well, first of all, the machines can be hacked. There's no question about that. Their machines can be hacked. But it's far worse than that, Wu. Dominion is a company that's owned by another company called Smartmatic through an intermediary company named Indra. Smartmatic is a company that was formed way back in about 2003, 2004. You're going to be astonished when I tell you how it was formed. It was formed really by three Venezuelans who were very close to the dictator Chavez of Venezuela. And it was formed in order to fix elections. That's the company that owns Dominion. Dominion is a Canadian company, but all of its software is Smartmatic software. So the votes actually go to Barcelona, Spain. So we're using a foreign company that is owned by Venezuelans who are close to Chavez, are now close to Maduro, have a history. They were founded as a company to fix elections. They have a terrible record, and they are extremely hackable. So, Texas made the right decision. What the heck was Georgia doing hiring this company? I'll tell you what they were doing. The lobbyist for Dominion was the former chief of staff for the governor. Why are we using a foreign company with connections to Venezuela? I'll give you another connection. Smartmatic, the company that owns Dominion, well, the guy who was running it was one of the people who was number two or three in Soros's Change the World organization. Open Society, right. We got a we got a very funny company here. We got a really strange company. It's very frightening.
We've got,
and yes, they can be hacked. And yes, they can change votes.
And now we have to find out whether they did. And with those servers, whether they're in Canada, whether they're in Barcelona or Spain or Germany, we know a number of companies. All of them are private. Five of them, five of the top voting companies in this country, at least if they're not in this country, they're processing our votes in this country. They comprise 90% of all of the election voting market in this country. It's stunning. And they're private firms, and very little is known about their ownership beyond what you're saying about Dominion. It's very difficult to get a handle on just who owns what and how they're being operated. And by the way, the states, as you well know now, they have no ability to audit meaningfully the votes that are cast, because the servers are somewhere else and are considered proprietary, and they won't touch them. It won't permit them being touched. So it's really, so what? How do you proceed now?
Well, I mean, I'm working on the part of the case which is demonstrating how many illegal votes were cast, and I'm way beyond the margin that I need in Pennsylvania or Michigan to overturn the vote there. We're up to about 623,000 unlawful ballots in Pennsylvania, and about 320 unlawful ballots in Michigan. And in Michigan, of course, we have a couple of extraordinary witnesses, one of whom was a Democrat who worked for 30 years for the city of Detroit, who will explain that she started getting trained in how to cheat in September of 2020. They'll also testify to 100,000 ballots being shipped in about 4 in the morning after they had stopped counting. And they got into a panic because they thought they had made up the lead and Trump was still ahead by 120,000 votes. So they brought these ballots in cars that had out of, in trucks that had out of state license plates. They piled them on the tables. And from the witnesses that were there, from whom we have affidavits, every single vote was for Biden. And the ballots looked totally fraudulent. Only one person voted for. Rest of the ballot empty. Nobody bothered to look or check whether or not the envelope was valid. They just threw it away immediately. There was no Republican observer, as the law of Michigan requires, and it's a misdemeanor not to do it. So I can't see these 100,000 votes standing, plus about 140,000 more that were counted deliberately out of the sight of any Republican who could check the validity of the ballot. And I think that number will go up. When we began in Pennsylvania, we only had like about 130. We're now at 632,000. This was a stolen election, Lou. I know the phony elites don't want to hear it, but this was a stolen election. The same pattern exists in Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin.
And I think Rudy. I think that really the fact of the matter is this looks to me like it may be, and I say maybe, I'm not suggesting it is.
Sure.
But following the operation as when President Trump was a candidate to block his presidency, to follow
with
the special counsel, first 11 months of investigation, then the special counsel investigation, which went nowhere except to exonerate him. And then the phony impeachment process. This looks to me like it is the end of what has been a 4.5, the end game to a 4.5 effort, 4.5 year long effort to overthrow the president of the United States. It looks like it's exactly that, that there is these are all parts of a piece here.
Well, it's impossible that in 10 different crooked Democratic cities, on the morning of the election, every single one of those Democratic leaders woke up and said, we're going to block the Republicans from seeing any of the mail ballots. Since whenever we count absentee ballots, we know that we have to have a Republican and a Democratic representative. And the only reason they did that is because they knew they were going to need that room to make up for his margins. And here's where they got screwed up. The margins were much bigger than they anticipated. They were figuring they had to make up a couple hundred thousand votes in Pennsylvania, maybe 100,000 in Michigan, maybe 80 or 90,000 in Wisconsin. Now they're looking at numbers like 800,000, 300,000, 400,000. They had to do plenty of cheating in the middle of the night in order to catch up. And that's why they kept the Republicans out. Right. No reason not to let the Republicans look at these ballots if they're legitimate. Why do you want this issue? And if you know the history of absentee balloting, we never exclude the other side when we look at absentee ballots. Never, ever. This is the first time that ever happened.
Well, no one would. Yeah, it's extraordinary this election has got more firsts than any I can think of. And Rudy, we're glad you're on the case and pursuing what is the truth.
Now, I had mentioned Maria Bartiromo's TV program today, I believe, on Fox, in which Sidney Powell, Trump campaign lawyer Sidney Powell, was talking about the exploding information about the voting machine fraud. Here's another interview when she first interviewed, I believe, on Sidney Powell on her program, Maria Bartiromo's program, on November 8th. It's a short clip. This is when Sidney Powell was just beginning to get more information about the voting machines. Play soundbite 4, please.
Welcome back. I'm back with Sidney Powell, who is part of President Trump's legal team in contesting this election. Sidney, we talked about the Dominion software. I know that there were voting irregularities. Tell me about that.
That's to put it mildly. The computer glitches could not and should not have happened at all. That is where the fraud took place, where they were flipping votes in the computer system or adding votes that did not exist. We need an audit of all of the computer systems that played any role in this fraud whatsoever. And, you know, Joe Biden had it right. He said that he had the biggest voter fraud organization ever, and he didn't need people's votes now. He would need people later. They had this all planned, Maria. They had the algorithms. They had the paper ballots waiting to be inserted if and when needed. And notably, President Trump's vote in the blue states went up enormously. That's when they had to stop the vote count and go in and replace votes for Biden and take away Trump votes.
I've never seen voting machines stop in the middle of an election, stop down and assess the situation. I also see reports that Nancy Pelosi's longtime chief of staff is a key executive at that company. Richard Blum, Senator Feinstein's husband, significant shareholder of the company. What can you tell us about the interest on the other side of this Dominion software?
Well, obviously, they have invested in it for their own reasons and are using it to commit this fraud to steal votes. I think they've even stolen them from other Democrats in their own party who should be outraged about this also. Bernie Sanders might very well have been the Democratic candidate, but they've stolen against whoever they wanted to steal it from.
Sidney, these are incredible charges that you are making this morning. We, of course, will be following this, and we thank you for joining me today. Please come back soon. Sidney Powell. That'll do it for Sunday Morning Futures. The conversation continues. I'll see you tomorrow.
Now let's hear from retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McKinnery on what he says he's discovered about the secret U.S. cyber warfare program Hammer and Scorecard, which it is alleged is capable of and may have been used illegally to swing votes to Joe Biden. This is from an interview with McKinnery by Newsmax TV's Chris Salcido on his show November 11. Play soundbite 5, please.
About election security today. Now, many folks and viewers have been hearing a lot about something called Hammer and Scorecard. First, tell everybody what it is.
Well, Hammer and Scorecard, Hammer is a surveillance tool designed to seek out terrorists, started in 2003. It was converted by the Biden administration into a surveillance tool to listen to American people and record what they were doing. The scorecard is an application like on your iPhone that can manipulate voting data, keep it within 3% so it's not obvious, but switch it from Trump to Biden, which the Democrats did in this election. And it is clearly one of the most subtle and stealthy ways of changing voting that there is today. And that this is the first massive attack in the United States history. So now, there'll be no more free election, Chris, after this one,
yes,
if we get this issue resolved.
Well, General, I got to ask, because is there verifiable information that the Trump administration can use, that our citizens can see, that we can say that it was deployed in this election against American voters?
Yes, and we will show specifically at what time, for instance, in Michigan at 0400 on the 4th of November, 138,000 votes came in for Biden. We'll show a whole host of these that around the country in the key battleground states that were attacked, the time and how many votes were missed, were changed. And we'll have to compare it manually to the votes that went in to the Secretary of State's office and then that came out, the differential. Because people they all realize, I think, that the voting machines are not hooked up to the internet. There are some in Texas that are, but in general they are. They're bundled, go up to the state Secretary of State, and there at certain points, they're shifted onto the internet and distributed. And that's where Hammer is put in, and they put the scorecard application on it and manufacture a different vote total, in this particular case, in favor of Biden. This has to be proved because it'll have to go to a court of law.
Mm-hmm. In general, of course, that this all begs the question now, if this is going to be demonstrated and shown, who has the sophistication and the technical technology advanced enough to pull something off like this off? Who did, if this did happen, who did it to us?
Well, I don't know who specifically did it to us, but the fact is, and I'm just starting to hear that the Russians and the Chinese were playing with us as well. And so I can't give you the names. I can tell you that Jim Clapper and John Brennan, the former DNI and former director of the CIA, were involved with the program 2 weeks after President Obama came in. They shifted it over to a separate CIA facility and went and started listening to U.S. So the people I don't know exactly, but it benefited the Democratic Party. So obviously they were involved with it to shift the voting. And the reason that's important and a great question, Chris, is because you've got to look at the whole situation that we're involved with. Here you had Vice President Biden had a record number of votes, larger than Barack Obama. Now, for a person that didn't do any campaigning and the largest crowd he had were 12 cars with people blowing horns, never getting out of the basement, did not do one press conference that was an hour long and got real questions, to have gotten the number of votes, the record number of votes he got, that in fact belies the smell test, if you will. And so these other, what we call points of interest or patterns of behavior is the best term. The patterns of behavior don't track. Look at the down low voting from the House. Not one Republican lost his seat that ran again. Look at the number of House seats the Democrats lost. Look at the Senate is going to go, I believe, in favor of the Republicans with the two Georgian. But the fact was, if the weight of voting was so strong for Biden, why don't the down ballots reflect that? So it's the patterns of behavior that we've got to look at. And it's a sniff test. This doesn't make sense the way it turned out. And the reason is because people aren't really aware of cyber warfare and what the Democratic Party did to shift those votes.
A lot of heavy stuff here. all kinds of things going on here. Well, we'll have to see all this, how all this plays out, folks. We'll be watching it for you. I got to wrap it up. We're out of time for this show. Look for us again 2 weeks from tonight. Take care, stay safe, and have a good evening.